Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Today, this is a great day there for the Olympic Games and for the Olympic movement. And it's a great day also for these two wonderful cities, these two great Olympic cities.
That's Thomas Bach, the president of the International Olympic Committee, speaking in Lausanne, Switzerland, where the IOC voted unanimously to move forward with a dual award for the 2024 and 2028 Summer Games. The two great and wonderful Olympic cities Bach is talking about are Paris and Los Angeles. He says over the next several weeks, officials from Paris, Los Angeles, and the IOC will negotiate over which city will host first.
We have now created, we have built the foundation on which we're very confident that we can then build the win-win-win situation we are all longing for, and then to make it finally happen then in Lima just in a couple of months.
If Paris, Los Angeles, and the IOC can work out an agreement in the next couple of months, the IOC would ratify the deal at its meeting September 13th in Lima, Peru. In the event that the three parties can't come to terms, the IOC would then vote on only the 2024 Olympic host. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti and Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo raised hands with Bach in Lausanne after the announcement of the plan to award the 2024 and 2028 Olympics. And Mayor Garcetti had this to say.
You know, in the past, we've looked at the Olympics as when you bid, it's a winner-take-all. There's the old cliche, there is no silver medal when you bid. But maybe the better metaphor has been, in Olympic history, we've actually had 37 times which there has been a tie for a gold medal. And maybe today is the 38th, a time in which two cities with two great bids, two places that have worked very hard after their nations have struggled before to bring the Olympic Games home, I now know that I am sitting up here with the two mayors of two cities that will host, after Tokyo, the next two Olympics. And for each one of us, I think that is an exciting day. For myself, it certainly is. I'm thrilled we're one step closer to making that happen, though I have full confidence that we will get there.
Meanwhile, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, speaking in French, says she's committed to reaching an agreement so Paris can host the Olympics for the first time in 100 years. The French capital previously hosted the Olympics in 1900 and 1924. Like Paris, Los Angeles has staged the Games twice before, in 1932 and 1984. The United States has not hosted an Olympics since the Salt Lake City Winter Games in 2002, and before that, the Atlanta Summer Olympics in 1996. The USA had previously tried to lure the 2012 Olympics to New York and the 2016 Games to Chicago, failing both times. IOC President Thomas Bach also stressed the importance of reaching an agreement with Paris and Los Angeles for the future of the Olympics.
This is a golden opportunity for today, but it is of really great, great importance for the future of the Olympic Games. because in ensuring stability of the Olympic Games for 11 years is really in our world something extraordinary.
That's Thomas Bach, the president of the International Olympic Committee, and he was speaking in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review the 29th African Union Summit that was dominated by discussions on war and conflict, but also talks on investing in the African youth. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. We look forward to your next Press Conference USA show. American tennis player Sam Querrey scored the biggest victory of his career on Wednesday when he beat defending champion Andy Murray of Britain in five sets in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. The final score from Wimbledon center court, 3-6, 6-4, 6-7, 6-1, and 6-1. It marks the first time the 29-year-old Querrey has reached the semifinals at a Grand Slam tournament. The tall American, 6 feet 6 inches in height, or 1.98 meters for our metrically inclined VOA tennis fans, was seeded 24th at Wimbledon. Querrey overpowered Murray, a two-time Wimbledon champion, in the final two sets when Andy Murray appeared to be feeling the effects of a hip injury. Sam Querrey is the first American man to advance to a Grand Slam semifinal since Andy Roddick at Wimbledon in 2009. And the Voice of America's social media reporter Andrew Palcheski will have more on Sam Querrey's big victory as well as the women's semifinals at Wimbledon a little later in the show. One other quick result from Wimbledon on Wednesday. The Croatian Marin Cilic won in five sets over Gilles Muller to advance to the semifinals. Our VOA tennis fans will remember we heard from Muller on Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports. He ousted Spanish star Rafa Nadal, but he went down on Wednesday to Marin Cilic. German cyclist Marcel Kittel captured his fifth stage victory in this year's Tour de France on Wednesday. For the second day in a row, Kittel won a bunch sprint finish after the riders covered more than 203 kilometers from Emme to Po. Marcel Kittel is currently wearing the green jersey given to the rider with the most points overall. Back in the bunch on Wednesday, three-time Tour de France champion Chris Froome of Britain finished safely to retain his yellow jersey given to the overall leader. Froome leads by 18 seconds over the Italian rider Fabio Aru in the Tour de France standings. The Tour continues on Thursday with a 204-kilometer mountain stage. The 2017 Tour de France will end on July 23rd in the French capital, Paris.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Andrew, I have a query regarding Sam Querrey. Were you surprised at that result today at Wimbledon, him ousting Andy Murray?
Definitely a shock to see Sam Querrey beat the defending Wimbledon champion and world number one. But that being said, Sam Querrey, we've seen him do it before. Last year at Wimbledon, he beat world number one Novak Djokovic and went to the quarterfinals last year. So Wimbledon has been very kind to Sam Querrey in the past couple of years. Interesting that he's knocked off two world number ones in two consecutive years. I believe he's the first American ever to do that at the same tournament in the Grand Slams. But really great for American tennis. First time in nearly 10 years that an American is in the semifinals of a Grand Slam, which speaks to the drought that the American tennis has had for men particularly. The women's side, you've of course been dominated by Serena and Venus, and then you've had players like Madison Keys, Coco Vandeweghe, who made it into the quarterfinals. But the men's side has been a dearth of talent and progression in the Grand Slam tournaments, but that is now over with Sam Querrey getting to the semifinals.
And Querrey is kind of a veteran of the tennis scene, 29 years of age. He's not a fresh face, so to speak.
No, he's part of this generation that is kind of the lost generation in tennis. You have the Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Murray group in their early 30s, and then the group in their mid-20s, they really haven't done much because that big four, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, and Murray, they've dominated. So Querrey, unfortunately for him, is kind of part of that lost generation. But maybe now we'll see. He will face off against Marin Cilic in the semifinals. Marin Cilic, of course, won the U.S. Open several years ago, beating Roger Federer in the semifinals in quite a surprise. So he's one of, I think, only three or four men in the past, I don't know, 10 years, who's won a Grand Slam that hasn't been named Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, or Murray. So he's got something to prove, hoping to pick up his second Grand Slam title. We'll see if he can do that, if he can get to the final.
What's the women's side look like ahead of the semifinals, Andrew?
Well, we have the women's semifinal is set. We have Simona Halep, who's the number two player in the world, losing to Joanna Konta, who is the British women's number one, and actually becomes the first British woman to reach the semifinals at Wimbledon since Virginia Wade back in 1978. So that's quite a long record for the British women. We talk about the American men not being in the semis for about 8 years. This is a bit longer. Because Halep lost that match, and because women's number one Angelique Kerber lost in the round of 16, we have a new number one on the women's side, and that is Karolina Plíšková of the Czech Republic. On Monday, she will be the new women's world number one. Very interesting because she has never won a Grand Slam tournament. She's only been to the final of the U.S. Open this past year where she lost to Angelique Kerber. But we've seen this in the past for a number of weeks. Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark was number one in the world, and she never won a Grand Slam tournament. So not unheard of to be number one in the world and never having gotten any of those tournaments and tournament titles. But Karolina Plíšková, she will be the number one come Monday. So congrats to her.
And congrats to Venus Williams for her performance at the 2017 Wimbledon. I imagine Venus would rise in the rankings should she win another Wimbledon trophy.
She will indeed. And in fact, Venus, I believe, is just by getting to the semifinals into the top 10, back into the top 10 again. So she's making quite a run at it again. She will play Joanna Konta in that semifinal matchup, so it's going to be very interesting to see how the crowd dynamics work for her. We saw a lot of that today with Sam Querrey and Andy Murray. Of course, Andy Murray having the hometown crowd there in London cheer for him, but unfortunately for him wasn't enough to overcome what appeared to be some injuries for Murray. He didn't talk about that much after the match, kind of downplayed it, which a lot of people said was great sportsmanship. But for Venus, it's going to be interesting to see, taking on Joanna Konta in front of that crowd, how she can do. It's the experience of being there before. Konta's never been to the semifinals, so Venus has won Wimbledon five times, so a little bit disparate there. So we'll see how they match up. The other side of the draw, you have Garbiñe Muguruza, who is into the semifinals. Of course, she is a previous French Open champion and previously made it to the finals of Wimbledon, but never won that title. And she's going to be facing a very interesting opponent, one that I don't think anyone would have suspected, Magdalena Rybarikova of Slovenia. Highest ranking she's ever had was number 31, and that was back in 2013. She's currently was ranked coming into this tournament number 87 in the world, and earlier this year she was as low as in the 400s as she dropped out of tournaments and was dealing with injuries. So Magdalena Rybarikova wins against American Coco Vandeweghe, gets into the semifinals. She jumps up 54 ranking spots by making it to the semifinals. She's at number 33 in the world. If she can make it to the final, she'll be number 20 in the world. And if she wins, she'll be number 16. So she'll have jumped up, if she wins, about 70 places in the rankings, which is just amazing. And that's why tennis is such a great sport, is you see these success stories with players who come out of nowhere and all of a sudden they're a top 20 player because they've won a tournament. We saw this at the French Open with Yelena Ostapenko. She came in as number 47. She won the French Open. It was her first tournament win ever, and she left as number 13. So that's one of the nice things about tennis. A lot of these players taking advantage of some big names being out, like Serena, Maria Sharapova, and then some of the big names getting out early after some long absences, like Victoria Azarenka and Petra Kvitova, both of them coming back but losing in the earlier rounds.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I did receive a Facebook message from Chikono Shepherd. And Chikono writes from South Africa, and he would like to hear an update on how the African riders are doing at this year's Tour de France. And I will try to have that for you on Thursday's show, Chicono. Most of the Africans are from South Africa in this year's Tour de France. However, there is one Ethiopian rider, and we'll try to catch you up on how they're doing in cycling showpiece event on Thursday's show. What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, actually, on that note, there was an African tennis player, Kevin Anderson of South Africa, who was out for quite a long time, made quite a run for himself at Wimbledon, getting into the later rounds. So it's nice to see him back. And he's jumped up the ranking points after a number of injuries that have set him back. So good to see Kevin Anderson back there on the courts at Wimbledon, and good to see him back in tennis.
And in fact, I believe our producer this evening, Andrew, Bill Werkinger, had a chance to talk with Kevin Anderson right here in Washington during the City Open tournament, which is coming up. And I think Kevin played his college tennis. I think I got this right at the University of Illinois.
I believe that's correct.
And so he is a proud. I'm not quite sure of his citizenship, but he still represents South Africa internationally.
Yes, and he actually plays on world team tennis. He's played for the Washington Castles in the past, and I've had the chance to meet him very briefly, but the one thing I will say is he's very, very tall. He's about, 6'10", something like that. He's up there.
Which I guess that helps you when it comes to serving in tennis.
I think so. I think it's definitely an asset for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked about the Mayweather-McGregor fight and how much hype that's getting, and the hype is already starting because the two men met at their first press stop in Los Angeles, and quite a lot of attention on social media for Mayweather and McGregor, the two of them facing off, literally face-to-face, and McGregor having some choice words for Floyd Mayweather and talking kind of trash at him. Mayweather stood there kind of stoically, but the two of them went back and forth, so fans are already saying, oh, this is going to be a good fight, because the hype is already starting with the two of them. McGregor getting a lot of attention, though, not just for the words that he spoke to Mayweather, but the words on his suit. He wore a very nice pinstripe suit, but when you got up close to those pinstripes, you realized that the pinstripes weren't stripes, they were words. And the words spelled out a phrase that we definitely cannot repeat on air. But it's perhaps a message to his haters out there that he wants to deliver with the profanities that make up the pinstripes on his suit. But that was getting a lot of attention on social media.
And on that note, Andrew, I was trying to grab a few sound bites from that news conference that I thought I might be able to share with our VOA listeners, but they were a bit rough, and I thought maybe I should just skip over these this evening.
You know, a lot of the clips that I saw on social media, they had bleeps put in at strategic points, and I think that's, I don't know if we have a bleeping budget here at VOA, but I think we would probably blow through it with any of those clips for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, the other big news in U.S. sports is LA 2024, or should I say 2028? We don't know, because we're not going to find out until September, but the International Olympic Committee has announced the next two cities for the Summer Olympics. Los Angeles and Paris will be the next two cities to host in 2024 and 2028. We'll find out later this year which city will get which, although the speculation is that Paris will get 2024 and LA will get 2028.
I think that's probably the likely scenario, but we have to wait and see.
Right. That's what most people are saying. They're speculating. But interesting why the two cities are getting assigned, because all the other cities dropped out. Of course, it's very expensive to host the Olympics, so a lot of cities backed away from that. For what it's worth, Los Angeles and Paris residents on social media generally very excited about this, some apprehensive about trying to take on the games and the costs. I did see some social media posts from some Rio residents who said that they felt the games being in their city in 2016 didn't help them at all and actually hurt in terms of the costs that were associated with that. They had to foot the bill. So we've had quite a few years yet until we have these games, so we have some time to do some fundraising maybe for the 2028 games in Los Angeles. But those are your next two Summer Olympic cities after Tokyo 2020.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the July 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump's executive order temporarily suspending entry into the U.S. by nationals of six countries which present terrorism concerns is now being partially implemented. The implementation of the suspension of entry began on June 29th, 3 days after the United States Supreme Court ruled that the portion of the order which generally prohibits nationals from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen from entering the U.S. for 3 months because of national security worries can take effect for certain categories of those nationals. It also allows a 120-day pause on the entry of refugees into the United States. Over the past 3 months, implementation of these portions of the order, which is a revised version of an executive order President Trump signed in January, had been frozen by a series of rulings by lower courts. While unanimously overturning the earlier injunctions, the Supreme Court ruling was narrow in scope. The government cannot apply the suspension to foreign nationals who have a credible claim of a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. The court explained that for individuals, a credible claim to a close familial relationship is required. What constitutes a close familial relationship has been clarified by the State Department in consultation with other agencies to include only parents, spouses, fiancés, children, adult sons or daughters, sons and daughters-in-law, and siblings. On the entity side, a credible claim to a bona fide relationship must be formal, documented, and formed in the ordinary course, rather than to evade the order. This would include a student who has been officially admitted to an American university, or a worker who has accepted an offer of employment from an American company. Such individuals are exempt from the travel suspension, but are still subject to standard visa eligibility requirements. The Supreme Court agreed to hear oral arguments about the fundamental issues presented by the case, including whether the order was consistent with the president's authority to issue such executive orders on the grounds of protecting the nation, when the court convenes in October. President Trump called the Supreme Court's decision a clear victory for our national security. As president, I cannot allow people into our country who want to do us harm. I want people who can love the United States and all of its citizens, and who will be hardworking and productive. My number one priority as Commander-in-Chief is to keep the American people safe.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll review the 29th African Union Summit that was dominated by discussions on war and conflict, but also talks on investing in the African youth. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there's the youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.